There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Neuro Show. In today's episode, GCN Plus goes boom. What now? How do we watch cycling?
We're both a bit fed up with these bike industry is ending videos we discuss.
Shane Miller is still waiting for a reply from Shimano. We're waiting with him. What's the story with these power meters?
We also have a bit of training chat with Chris. What sessions does he use to indicate his fitness? And why is he training in a singlet?
I don't know. Is this cliche for us to talk about GCN Plus?
It is a bit, yeah. I think it is.
It is from the perspective of going back and talking about why we thought it went wrong. I mean, we were on the record, not to sort of blow our own trumpet, but we were on the record a long time ago talking about why we thought this whole thing was potentially on the card. So from my perspective, I don't want to really talk about the, oh, what went wrong sort of aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
The more I kind of think about this, and what I was hoping to run past with you was, do you think we will ever see something like this again? Have we had it as good as we will ever have it in Australia and the US? Because ultimately this doesn't change much in Europe from what I can gather. For the rest of us, do you think we'll ever see that again?
For Australia, it's not that big a deal, really. How many people want to watch Dwarsdoor Het Haaglund? Like, it's just such a small group of people in Australia that it's not that big a deal here, really, that it's not going to exist. Because there can't be that many people using the app to watch the races that you couldn't have gotten access to here through our other streaming services. So will we ever see it again in Australia? I'm sure at some stage a long time down the track, but it's such a small market here. I don't think it never made sense.
I think the disappointment really is around what this could have been. Okay. I mean, what we saw was this absolute self-contained cycling app, which was going to deliver you everything cycling. I mean, you know, I will be honest. I would have in a parallel universe, in a future dimension, how good would have it been to have the Neuro Show through GCN Plus, right? I don't know. That's just something that kind of I think about a bit, that like that could have been where we ended up or any more interesting content ends up. That's gone for now. The point you made about how many people want to watch pro racing, that is ultimately the point here, Jesse. You have nailed it. So I did some journalism this week, believe it or not. I just need to quickly say, just before I do say anything about this, there are people who have lost their jobs. I actually know a couple of them. I know Benji knows a couple of them. So this is all around the discussion that we are aware of that. But as cyclists and cycling fans, we still want to talk about the entity itself. Okay, so coming back to how many people want to watch these things. So diving into a little bit of the numbers and removing ourselves from the grand tours and the monuments, I was able to work out just some of the connections. Let's take, for example, a race like Tirreno Adriatico this year. Okay, 1 week stage race. I think it's a World Tour race, right? 1 week stage race. Stage six, which was the queen stage of that particular race. Yep. How many? Australia's a bit funny because of the time zone type thing. So we don't know how many people were streaming it live. How many people do you think were geomarked Australian when they downloaded Stage 6 of Torino Adriatico.
I would like to think it's in the to make money 5 to 10,000 would be like that's decent sort of enough to make it worthwhile.
So the range I was given between was between 1,000 and 2,000 downloads. Okay?
Total. Oh my god.
Which is
okay.
Laughable, right? Mm-hmm. You'd agree that's laughable. But here's the weird thing, right?
Yep.
So if you look at the highlights on YouTube of that exact stage, so this obviously doesn't just show Australia, so it's global. So GCN Racing, I think that exact stage had about 150,000-160,000 views, and there was a Eurosports channel which had 40,000 or 50,000 views of that exact stage. You could add those up to be over 200,000 views. You then go step back and go, right, okay, so there's 200,000 views globally of this race. 1,000 of those, you know where I'm sort of going with this, was from this part of the world. So why would anyone by licensing bother putting a platform together and distribute it out to this country? Now, I'm talking about Australia. Sadly, it kind of gets worse for America. Now, I wasn't able to work out the streaming of that big stage 6 of Torino Adriatico, but if you look at the numbers of people viewing the Tour de France, so the actual overall metrics on the mainstream channels of viewing the Tour de France in the US to Australia, they're actually very similar numbers, which surprised me. Now, obviously, you remove the absolute Golden Lance days. When you move forward to, I think it was 2021 was what I looked at, kind of looking at the same numbers viewing it in Australia that are viewing it in the US. So it just kind of doubles down on the fact that we are here and in the US just a very, very tiny, tiny piece of the pie. And so if you're an executive of Warner Brothers or Discovery and you look at these things going, why the hell are we subsidizing this? Cut that stuff off. Let's just double down on our main market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm kind of shocked how low those numbers are, but I had a feeling because you're chatting with people. There's not that many people logging into the app to watch those lower level races. So yeah, that's quite surprising. I mean, the other thing as well that I always wondered how many views got were all those GCN Plus original films. How many views are those getting natively on the app if they're not on YouTube? It can't be more than 10,000. Because I think of the views that a video like that would get on YouTube, a successful one that does well, maybe it gets 100K. Actually, no, it would be a bit higher if it's on GCN's channel. Okay, I'm considering that as it relates to a vegan cyclist video or something like that. Let's say actually on GCN's video channels, let's say it gets 300K. You know, inside the GCN app, like how many views is it getting that are more than just clicked on it for a minute? Again, can't be that many. Have you ever watched a whole GCN Plus original film?
Weirdly, the week before GCN Plus dies, I watched the whole one of them riding in the Himalayas. Yeah.
Okay.
I had never watched one. And the week before it got me. This is when I was sick. So it was perfect, like Chris has the flu. Yeah. It was fine. It was on. It was like one of those Netflix things. It was on. And I quite like those presenters when they're sort of in those I much prefer those presenters when they're doing that sort of stuff rather than, I don't know, you know, can I use a gravel bike on a road bike in a cyclocross race over a cliff? Yeah. So, but that was fun. But just coming back to the app, the whole thing, it just felt like this weird proof of concept that they come up with a few years ago. It was like, right, we're going to pile all our ideas into this. We've obviously got a bit of funding to do it. We're going to see what works, see what sticks. And, you know, the next iteration of this will be the one. Unfortunately, there is no next iteration of this. I don't think like producing those videos were ultimately the downfall of this app. I just think that ultimately the audience isn't really that big for what would have been the main part of that whole selling point. I mean, did you even have GCN Plus?
No, I ended up not renewing it.
I mean, you're...
'Cause I'm not going to sit down and watch 3 hours of some back-ass European race. I don't need... It's not filling my time in the week.
The more I think about that, the fact that you're not... And I didn't have it for a good portion of last year. Like, if we don't have it, like, come on, who's going to actually have it? Unless you're like a full rusted on... Yeah, I don't even know who.
But there were times when it first came out and I had used it, it was good. Like, it was fun to have as a kind of novelty. So we were on sort of borrowed time because it never made any money. So it was nice to live in the GCN Plus era, and now we're going beyond and we can all appreciate what it was.
I don't want to be like full captain negative from this, but I totally agree with you. I think in Australia it's like a little road bump. I don't think, sadly, the cycling community is growing dramatically one way or another due to sort of its access to pro cycling. I do think this is a pretty bad thing for the US. Like, watching bike racing in the US, European bike racing, is so friggin' hard already.
Yep.
To have now made it even more difficult to do legally. Unless, like, Flow Bikes come in and buy, I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe they can buy some rights, get it on their app, which has got a bit more traction in North America. But this is a proper roadblock for anyone trying to actually watch it. And that, I do think that matters. Like, there are races that it's kind of cool to be able to see, like Paris-Nice, Milan-San Remo. Like, these things will not be a thing to someone riding in Nevada.
The only thing is, before GCN Plus, we weren't able to watch these races anyway. So we're kind of just back to the status quo. That's why I'm not that upset about it, because 4 years ago, I wasn't able to watch those races anyway unless I was on you-know-what cycling website. So I'm not going
to We're not allowed to mention it.
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to get cut off. Yeah, fair enough.
It's a bit – it's like counterfeit. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
So you never really legitimately had access to these races anyway. So it was
there was a phase in Australia where Eurosport was on Foxtel. So I know that's very, very Aussie chat there for you. Yeah. But Eurosport was on there. So there was a good period of time. Remember back where you would record overnight, you would do the old, you know, schedule a recording overnight of Dras Drawn Dan Vlaanderen. But you always had to remember to record the thing after it, because scheduling would always go over. So there are all those little tricks. So it has been a while, and it has been a while since you've had really no access to that, and you've fully had to rely on SBS, which is my thing about the US, is they don't even have that. And so you're going to be going full next level, like VPNing. I mean, VPNing is going to be what everyone's going to do, basically, because all these rights, by the sound of it, are going to move to the Discovery app, especially in Europe. Now, I don't know how that will work, whether you have to – how you can buy – you might have to set up an app account in Europe to actually buy the app, because you know how sometimes
– Yeah, like, so what app are you buying?
Yeah, well, it sounds like it'll be a Discovery app. Right. So it's like this is really common at the moment across all the streaming services. Everyone is consolidating their content. That's the buzz phrase at the moment, like consolidate your content. And so Discovery would have looked at this and gone, well, our content's like spread over all these different apps. Let's just bring it all into this one app and have it all in there. And we know, unfortunately, that when it all comes into this one app, cycling will be handled like shit. It'll be handled as the one percenter, because we probably are that. And so it'll be a tab like right at the end of the app, like other in sports, and you'll go in there and somehow find it.
So potentially in future, people are going to use their VPN if they can manage to even create an account on Discovery, Warner Brothers, whatever that app is that has Eurosport, and then you'll be able to watch the races there. But it's such low, like, who can be bothered? Like, I guess people can. There's no way I'm not a VPN guy. Are you a VPN guy?
I'm a VPN guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I blew my kids' minds open when they got the couple of new episodes of Super Kiddies the other week that weren't released in Australia. They're only released in the US. And they're like, Dad, that doesn't come out till next year. I'm like, you just wait. oh my God. Yeah. No, VP until I die. Should I be admitting that? But anyway, whatever. All right, guys, let us know your thoughts. Was GCN Plus as good as we are ever going to get it? Is there any way forward? So the bike industry is going up in flames, Jesse. And what you've got to do is you've got to have flames on your thumbnail, and then you got to have this arrow pointing down, and like maybe like this sort of industrial setting behind me burning, or like coal-fired steam coming out of it, because everything's blowing up and the world has ended. What do you think about this content to start with? Because everyone has done it. Absolutely everyone has done it, from GMBN tech channel to, obviously bike shops to just random punters. Everyone's getting in front of the camera and telling us that the bike industry is blowing up. And seemingly people really care about it because these videos get bulk views, right?
I swear all those videos are just pure recreation because they don't actually solve anything. It's just throwing at the industry and then throwing it back on the consumers. Because there's this other one that you sent me, breaking down the cycling industry's troubles, who's at fault? And Lewis here was saying that it's mostly at the consumer's fault because the newer cyclists are more willing to spend, buy the mid to upper range bike straight off the bat. And that's inflating the industry a bit. So the more brands are more likely to cater towards that mid to upper end. So he's kind of blaming the riders. And then there's other people that say, oh, the brands are all a ripoff. It's just, it's still the same. If you want to get a good deal, you can still go and get a good deal. If you want to go and spend $15,000, you can go and spend $15,000. It's on everyone. I mean, I kind of get his point, actually, in that if you want to get a good deal, go and get a good deal. They're out there. But most people don't want good deals. Most people want, he's right. Most people want good bikes. So,
but I want to blame someone, Jesse. I want to log onto YouTube. I want to see an angry thumbnail that shows the industry blowing up, and I'm going to get angry with them and I'm going to blame someone. I don't care who it is. I can list you the people I've seen blame or the entities that I've seen blamed so far. I've seen obviously the brands themselves blamed. I've seen the raw materials people blamed. I've seen the people ordering things blamed. I've seen the shipping people blamed.
Oh, the supply chain.
Supply chain being blamed. I've seen shop owners being blamed. I've seen cyclists being blamed. Now, that gets better than that. I've seen cyclists, old head cyclists, like rusted on people who don't buy anything. They use their chain for 17 years before they change it. They'll get blamed. Then I'll see new cyclists get blamed. It's like the result of all this stuff seems to be we have to get angry at someone or push this sort of issue onto someone else who's, I don't know, whether it's not ourselves or what it is, I don't know. But I just find all this content, we've reached a point now where, okay, we all agree that something happened during the whole sort of COVID phase where there was a total F-up. Absolutely, we agree. Well, the reality is we are in this position in 2023. There are good deals. There are bad deals. There are $100,000 factor bikes. There are Decathlon bikes. And no one's at fault for all this, guys. We just have to settle down a little bit and lower our voices and maybe potentially move on from this.
So I'm all for picking a specific bike or specific scenario and discussing that, like we did with Canada. And I say, hey, why are they charging Express prices? I think that's interesting. But these sort of broad industry things, I just go, you can't go so general.
It's interesting. I will say, so I did watch The Daily Mountain Biker, did a really good little parody of, did you see that one? It was a cool little parody of supply chainy type stuff that played out over the last 5 years, a bit like Jimmy Reese. Do you watch any Jimmy Reese stuff? Okay, that sort of style of thing. People, I'll put the link down below. Go check it out. If you want the whole story in 40 seconds, that's it. That's all you need to watch. Move on. We've done with that. But what I find really weird about this is everyone's gets all uppity about this and starts sort of, we want to blame people for what's gone wrong. But then when things go wrong or don't work, no one seems to care. So Shane Miller's been doing this. I've absolutely been loving this series of videos he's been doing about the Shimano power meter. So quick backstory, Shimano updated their firmware on their power meter. He did some tests on it, found that it was still just as inaccurate as ever, potentially worse. And then this whole correspondence between him and Shimano begins where Shimano go back to him and say, well, we can't guarantee the calibration of it beyond it leaving our warehouses. So basically saying that, you know, it's calibrated in our warehouse. What happens after that's not our fault. It's like, what? It's just a total shit show. And just looking purely at like YouTube metrics, which is a pretty good indicator of what people are kind of getting interested about, like these videos of stuff not working doesn't actually get as many views as just throwing shade at the bike industry and cyclists for the bike industry supposedly being a total shit show.
Even on that Shimano power meter thing as an example, it's still for sale. And that's where I blame the retailers. Like, why are Case still selling a Shimano power meter? It doesn't work. And they've still got in the description 2% accurate. So that's what I mean with these broad videos I think are kind of pointless. In the Shimano power meter example, I put a bit of blame on the retailers for selling something that doesn't work. They should be rocking up and dumping them back at Shimano Australia's front doorstep and saying, give us some money back. That don't work. Because the buck stops with the final person that's selling them. And we've already seen some of the bicycle manufacturers not speccing them on their bikes, that you don't get a Shimano power meter on a Specialized or a Canyon. So they've already started not speccing them. That's thumbs up. That's good. But the retailers should follow suit. And so it's those sort of examples where you can call out, you know, certain parts of the industry, but not on a broad level.
I wonder in other sports or like other hobbies, whether people get so worked up about, everyone feels so, have like an ownership of the hobby. Like clearly everyone feels like they are members of the cycling union or something. And, you know, we all have a say and we all have an opinion and we all have a share of the future of our hobby. Like, which is cool. Don't get me wrong, that like everyone has that sort of sense, or maybe it's just on YouTube, I don't know, but that we care about what happens in the future. Do tennis players care that, like, I don't know, that the rates of playing tennis has gone up? I don't know. I find it kind of in a weird way cool and also like strange. Mm. Just coming back to the power meter thing really quickly. Potentially one of my favorite moments from any YouTube video this year was Shane Miller referring to the, like, because he's kind of saying, well, Shimano, you're measuring watts. It's a thing. Like, you can't just create a different, like, indicator. And I think he used the frame Shimani's.
Shimani's or shonk watts?
And he did. He got all high-pitched. Like, Shane Miller, when he gets high-pitched, that's gold. Absolute gold. But,
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It did get me kind of thinking, like, so whatever, Shimano power meter. It is, the power meter thing is one area where I definitely believe it's real news, not fake news, that those Chinese brands are legit proper competition, like straight up, no two ways about it. Now, I know GC did a good one on his machine power meter recently. I can personally attest to the Sugiai one and the XKD, which...
The names are so shit. What, why, how? It's not that hard to pick a Western name if you're going to ship it over. Or even just like subsidiary brand, and it can be under Sugiai, but it's called Crank...
Brothers?
Crank... let's come up with a power meter name. What would you call it? If you were Sugiai... You had to name your power meter to sell in Australia. What would you call it? Even like S Crank or X Crank is better than Sugiai.
X Katie as well. It's just like a capital X and then Katie. So you're like, where is there a dash between the X and the? Why is there an X there? Yeah, I don't know. So
Machine is quite nice.
Yep,
I don't mind
Machine
that.
Works. Machine yep. works quite well.
Cybray. Yeah. XKD, Cybray, Craftworks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. They're all in the same bucket.
Speaking
of deals, and that's why I think actually, because I'm probably going to contradict myself, because I did say probably 6 months ago that the brand's focusing on the mid to upper level is going to drag everything up. But there are still brands doing good deals. So Merida Sculptura 6,000 on 99 bikes. 105 Di2, it looks shit hot, white paint job. It's $3,800 for Di for electronic shifting, disc brakes, which I wouldn't want, but most people want, so you can't argue with that. And average wheels, but you could upgrade them later. Like that's pretty cheap. That group set if you wanted to buy it alone, it's almost $2,000. So that's a great starter bike. There are deals out there.
I reckon that bike's selling. I have seen so many of those. It's easily the most dominant bike in my bubble, Centennial Park bubble at the moment, without a doubt. And it's a nice looking bike. Like, and the people riding it, you know, are, you know, solid bloody cyclists who are going to be getting a good bit out of it. Like, can I actually just quickly, this is, unfortunately, another non-sponsored shout-out. We're more than happy to start selling out, but whatever. I've walked into a 99 bike store half a dozen times in the last 6 months. So I get little vouchers every now and again from Waratah Masters. Shout. The staff in 99 bikes are the nicest staff I have ever witnessed in a bike shop. Proper, like, American style, you walk in, hi, welcome to 99 Bikes. Can I help you today? I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. I'm here for some gels. Where are they? And off we go and find some gels. And they must deal with some absolute wankers in there and just absolute clowns. And didn't matter who, whatever, you just walked in, big smile on the face. Can I help you? Oh, maybe I can offer you something else. I don't know whether they've got really good sales training or like, I don't know, they're trying to have good sales targets for them to hit, but no, good shout, that's all.
Well, it is called the world's most approachable bike shop.
There you go.
According to their front page.
I know that we'll get comments about being blasé about things being expensive, right? It's just...
What?
Well, you're going to get... It's just going to happen, whatever. But I just want to say this, right? What we're trying to say is, like, as a collective, as sort of cycling, that commentary doesn't really move the needle anywhere. To sit here and sort of say, oh, well, bikes are – maybe it's because there's lots of research and development into bikes and that's why the prices have gone up. And then it's got to be black or white. So it's then like, well, maybe if we don't do any bicycle research and we just concentrate on entry-level things, then prices will come down. It's like, what? No, I mean, that's stupid. Like, that's not a conversation. You're just bringing up ridiculous either ends of the industry for the sake of sounding like you're having a kind of nuanced discussion. Whereas all we're saying is that chat doesn't move the needle. There are deals out there, move on.
Yeah.
Essentially. Is there a session or a training session you do that is your indicator?
Mm-hmm. 40-minute zone four.
Wow.
Bread and butter.
That's it?
Yep, that's it.
And so when you see movement in that.
Or the chop.
Oh, but that's.
Normalized power for the hour at the chop compared to the effort level. 100%. Those two sessions.
That's wild.
I get, 100%. It's because
And so you would see a big fluctuation in that.
Massive. Yeah. I could go and just be absolutely sucking through a straw for an hour and do 3:45 normalized. And I know. And then I could go come back 2 months later and I do 3:75 and we're on. And it's only because, right, I'm quite fortunate because I can kind of control what I'm doing. If you're not as strong and you're kind of just in the wheels, a ride like that sucks because you have no control over the power you're doing. So it's a little different. Or just, 40 minutes in zone low to mid zone four. That's it.
That 40-minute effort for me, that probably hasn't moved 3% in 10 years.
Yeah, it has. You're in good form. You'll be doing that at 3:20.
Oh,
40-minuter?
No, not that high.
Not that high?
No. No, so I would fluctuate between 2:90 and 3:15 maybe.
Well, that's a 25-watt band. And then if you're factoring in how it felt given the conditions, you can get a pretty good gauge. If you're doing it at 2:95 and then a month ago before you stop training or deloading, you were doing it at 3:10.
There's a difference, but it's funny because I don't use that as an indicator. So for me, an indicator, and this is kind of, maybe this is weird, but like a 4 to 5 to 6 by 8. So bobos, essentially bobos. And it's, shut up. All right, this is me. So I know because if I'm doing the fourth and the fifth and I'm really just know I can't do them. The power's starting to real, it's dropping into the 330s for those, I know, bad times, proper bad times. I know I am absolutely on it when I'm well and truly above 350 on those back ends of those 8-minute bobos.
And are you doing them above FTP?
Yeah.
Okay.
But for me, I come away, and I don't know, I have no understanding of the physiology. I'm just saying mentally, I will come away from that session going, I'm on, I'm ready. Whereas if I have, I've just started doing them again, I'm like, oh God, this is friggin' awful. Whereas I could just muscle my way through a 40-minuter and be like, whatever.
Well, you kind of have to have a session because I will see over a training block, my zone two will barely move. I'm doing my endurance rides now at 240. When my threshold's 400 watts, I'm doing my endurance rides at 250. I'm training higher volume, so I'll do them for longer. So I get almost no movement in zone two. Actually, I think the endurance ride's the dummy session. So you know when you've got a cold, let's say you've had a week off and you come back on and that first endurance ride back, assuming you're not coughing, feels amazing.
Amazing.
Diamonds in the legs.
Diamonds.
Assuming you're not looking at your heart rate,
yep.
That first endurance ride back, you're like, I have never done 200 watts this easy in my entire life. So that's, but try and do 30 minutes in zone four and you'll blow up. So the endurance ride is the worst gauge in terms of you're checking in on your fitness because it just goes all over the place with that sort of thing. So that's why higher intensity is a little better.
I do find myself cheating though, especially on some of those, and it's weird to have an indicator session being something that has multiple efforts in it because it's kind of easy to sort of cheat a little bit on them. And I'm notorious for this where I'll do the first couple.
Just a little easy.
Because I just love that feeling of finishing strong. And it's got a little bad. Like it's the bar for those first two have just been like, I've almost used them as like little decoy warm-ups, little mulligans, just to start off. And you're like, oh, that don't really sort of count. But by the back end, you're like, oh, yeah, but I was finishing with big numbers at the back end.
What are you training for? You talked about the sessions you do to test your fitness. So, well, what are you training for?
I'm keen to do the Gran Fondo National Championships down in Mount Buninyong in January.
Okay.
However, I have messaged Cycling Australia about this because I want to find out what this actually is, because it says it's the national championships. So if it is a national championships, are there sort of titles on order here? Like, are we actually chasing a national and hence is it going to be raced like that? Because in the past, what's basically happened is, you know, the age group sections have gone off with like a 1 minute gap between them, and ultimately all the age groups or the strongest guy in all the age groups have come together on the last couple of laps, and it's turned into this bizarre like bunch ride for the last lap because everyone's together, and then you kind of finish with four or five of your other sort of mates from your age group. So I want to know like how, if that's going to change, and ultimately then is this going to be a qualifier for the World Championships, which is something that I would like to do. I mean, if it was a qualifier for it, then I would definitely try and train and get myself in shape to qualify.
It would say if it was a qualifier. I'm pretty sure it's not, because it hasn't said that it is.
From what I understand, Tour of Brisbane and Amy's Gran Fondo are the two official Gran Fondo qualifiers. However, it seems strange to me that the national championships, quote unquote, was not a qualifier.
A qualifier. Yep, I can see that. It only costs $50.
Mm.
That is so cheap. Where are you getting into a $50 Australian Gran Fondo? Now, granted, it's only 58 kilometres. But the hill, you get to ride the Nationals hill, which is cool. You get to ride the Nationals, not just the hill, you get to do the whole course. Early bird pricing, $50. Why wouldn't you do it? Just enter it.
Yeah, well, because it's in Ballarat. But the other thing is that it's one of the few events I get to do on a really hard course, and I love that. Like, the dynamic of the way this plays out is still a bit shit, and that's what I need to sort of get certain in my head. But the fact that you can really do a hard bike race with, you know, other really fit guys in your own age group is bloody awesome, especially having come off that Masters Nationals shit show.
Whatever that was. Well, speaking of Australian Masters Nationals next year, for those overseas, you know how big Australia is. Masters Nationals next year is in the lovely little town called Loxton in South Australia. And this thing, right, is, when I say the middle of nowhere, I literally mean the middle of nowhere. This is like off the Nullarbor level. Like, look on a map, type in Loxton. It is basically rural, not even regional. This is rural South Australia. I don't know how they're expecting anyone to get there. Well, you fly to Adelaide and drive. How far is that? Let me map that. So you fly to Adelaide Airport and drive 3 hours, basically into nowhere to race. I've never seen, this is on record, the worst location for a bike race I've seen in Australia. I don't know. I've never seen a race this far out in the middle of nowhere.
This is a proper, you had the map of Australia, you had a dart, and you went,
yep.
Oh, there we go. Yep. That'll do. Is that got a road? Maybe. We'll see. Yeah.
It's all, because it's also not on, it's not on the road from Melbourne to Adelaide.
Oh, no,
it's not like it's off that road. It's kind of, if you were driving basically across Australia from Adelaide to Sydney, which no one would drive because that's miles and miles and miles, you may come close to this town. But I thought that was a special shout out to Loxton. Sorry if anyone listening is from there, but why the hell are you hosting a bike race? Yeah, wow. I thought it was a joke, or I got the town wrong when I saw it and I typed it in. They're not having a bike race there. It's the middle of the desert.
It's sort of stuff like that that makes you, not appreciate, but realize why so many people don't do any of that stuff and end up turning their local Grand Fondo into a race because it's more accessible and on a circuit that's more interesting. Sorry, Loxton.
Actually, I could go to that next year because I'm turning 30.
Oh, wow.
So I'm Masters 1 next year. What do you reckon? Drive out to Loxton?
Sure, the rest of Masters 1 would be delighted by that. Right, I'm all about vibe now, Jesse. I'm a vibe rider.
Okay,
so for the last 2 weeks, I've done one bike ride in a jersey. Every other bike ride has been singlet or T-shirt. Okay? Now.
Right.
You're looking at, they're going, what are you doing? So.
Okay.
It all sounds great, doesn't it? Well,
not really.
No? Okay. Well, there is a vibe to it. You do. You get out on the bike, you've got the air blowing through you. Sorry just to rub it in your face, it's Northern Hemisphere, but we are currently entering summer here. So, yep, out we go. T-shirts on, happy days. Now, I want to talk about this not from the vibe perspective, but from the practicality perspective, because there's a few things that people you need to think about here if you're going to go vibe, all right? So the first is, you know, it's all good and well for the vegan cyclist in Bass Lake who rolls out his front door and he's on some beautiful Californian alpine climb, not a car, beautiful perfection, all good, happy days. He can ride that sort of stuff. I don't live there. I live in Sydney. So what you find is when you ride in Sydney for more than 2 hours, you start to get this like scum. Get the scum, the road scum on your legs. Now, I know you only just go around Centennial Park, but the road scum is basically like a black
dust. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
So the first thing to realize is you'll get to the end of the ride and the road scum is everywhere else as well and gets under you. So you'll end up getting sort of a bit of road scum because you're flapping about with a loose T-shirt. So it's that little practicality. It's because you're a bit sweatier, that kind of sticks to you as well. The other practicality here is don't go cargo bibs. Go for the top tube bag, all right? Cargo bibs, lollies, all those sort of things just melt. So you end up, after a couple of hours, you put your hand in your cargo bib leg short and it's just a gloop of sugary mess, all right? So you've got to go for your top tube bag. Now, I'm running a Skin Grows Back. I'll put the link to the actual one down below, but minimalist enough. So it's just running your AirPods, it's got your phone because none of that's on your person. That's all in your little body down here. Happy days.
Do you hit your knees on it?
A little bit.
Oh, out of the saddle. Out.
No.
No.
Got to accept that. Move on. But see, here's the thing. I've seen you run, but because it's there, it's accessible. So you've still got your access to your phone, to your AirPods, to your food. Whereas like the bar bag is, it's not achievable to get in there, right? Third thing to realize is you will ride slower. You will ride quite a bit slower. So those sort of 40-minute sessions we were talking about, so I did a couple the other week, 38.5 kilometers an hour, 37.
Okay.
Yep. Right in there. Normally, I'd be at 40, okay, for that, and I'm normally bang on around the 300 watts on the road bike. So you're knocking off a good little thing, which actually, like on the longer ride, because you kind of set routes here, does kind of add a nice little 10, 12, 15 minutes sometimes to the overall ride, worth considering. Not great for the ego because you do tend to have people riding past you a lot more, potentially, something to consider. The other thing is what actually do you wear? So do you run the full just wife beater singlet style thing, like just from the normal clothes drawer, or are we trying to go like a dry fit, loose, sort of some kind of airy type setup? I've gone for the normal clothes option at this stage. if the vibe continues, could potentially see myself in the dry fit area. You've got no interest going down this route, do you?
I don't like running a handlebar bag, so I don't. I like wearing a jersey because I need the pockets. I don't like running a bar bag, again, because I hit my knees on it when I'm out of the saddle. So that sometimes annoys me. What I do for my vibe ride, if it's hot, is I wear sockets. Yeah. So it's not no socks. There is a sock on, but it's those little socket things that don't go above the ankle. It just feels amazing, especially when it's really hot. The air across the lower shin and the ankles feels great, and it looks horrible. I don't know why you still ride with me when I rock in into the bark sockless, but that's what I do if it's super hot. And I'll also wear the old training jerseys that have really short sleeves and pull them right up. That's about as far as I go. Singlets, depending on a bar, it's like a whole cascade of events if I decide I want to wear a singlet.
That's the thing. Like I've fully, it's not like just a one-off now. I'm like, okay, this is my standard routine so that the bag stays on there. It's very simple. So the phone and the AirPods go in there. So there's no decision to be made. It's just singlet goes on, out we go. The other thing I wanted to say about this, anecdotally, I find motorists way more patient with me. Maybe I'm not a Lycra wanker. I'm not like as aggressive a Lycra wanker. So that's, I'm like a bit more of a punter potentially that I'm not as, yeah. I seem to be given a lot more passing room actually, which is kind of interesting. The other thing is, and I know we've mentioned this a little bit in the past, but normal cyclists or the cyclist that I would normally be, like in a skin suit or normal kit, more reluctant to wave back to me, whereas your crowd, the commuter crowd, are all of a sudden, we're on a sort of similar wavelength. So there's a little bit, it's like that thing of like you acknowledge the person who's in your own bubble, seemingly. So I don't know. I've moved to a different bubble. Alrighty, guys. Thanks so much for watching this week. Remember to like, subscribe, and of course, share this show on with all your mates who you think might be interested. All right, Jesse, thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening to us.
See you later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.